know what really makes us mad? Is wasting money on CDs with only one or two good songs.
Yeah. Tell them about punk!
What's up, posers? Welcome to Punk Lotto Pod. I'm your co-host, Justin Hensley.
And I am your other co-host, Dylan Hensley.
And today we are talking with Akil Gotzi from the Baltimore hardcore band End It. End It recently put out their second EP, One Way Track, on Flat Spot Records. And it is hands down one of the best hardcore releases of 2020. I definitely recommend you go listen to it. He's also the co-host of the podcast Up the Blunks on the Hard Times Network, along with stand-up comedian Kevin Titt, who is a member of the bands Pilau and Chill Parents. I think he's got a bunch of other bands as well. And if you haven't heard that show, go check it out because it's probably my new favorite podcast. The discussion we have today is on the year 1995. And we're talking about District 9's
School of Hard Knocks.
School of Hard Knocks, yes. I don't know. I forgot the name of it. It's a great conversation. We're taking a slightly more relaxed approach to some of these episodes. I don't know if that's because we've been recording the last two kind of late at night. But this one is a chill one. It's similar in vibe to the one with Andy from Five Iron. You can find us on all the forms of social media. We're at Punk Lotto Pod on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. We have a voicemail line. You can call us and leave us a message. We are at 202-688-PUNK. That's 202-688-PUNK. You can leave us a review and a rating on iTunes. Please do that. We haven't had any good ones in a while. It's kind of stagnant over there. And enjoy the show.
I'm glad that we're doing an EP for
yes.
this one because that is an important format for punk. Like it's
we got just enough money to record this much and we
right.
can get it out.
So we sell something as a show.
Right, yeah. I can move this real easy. Five songs, $5. Dollar song. A tornado just touched down slightly, like about an hour ago.
Really?
Yeah.
Does that happen often there?
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why I'm like, this is weird. But anyway.
It doesn't really happen in North Carolina that often. Like, you'll get maybe one little one a year that'll just touch down for, like, half an hour and then, like, be done.
Yeah. But. See, that's exactly what it did, but that don't happen often. So I was like, I was almost going to reach out to you, but it would have been prematurely and we're like, might not be able to do it because it was like, imagine like an Amber Alert. Like, it hit everyone's cell phone. Like, you might want to hunker down right now. But anyway.
Yeah, it's one of those ones where you're like, shit, do I need to worry about that? It's like,
yeah.
No, it's like 45 minutes away.
Yeah, you're fine. It's just going to rain out. It'll be okay.
We get flash flood warnings pretty much any time it rains, like for more than 5 minutes, because it's just like, it never rains here. Like, if it comes down hard enough, fast enough, it'll
That's
flood.
It.
Like, it's not going to soak into the ground right away.
I had a flash flood warning a couple weeks ago. Like it was like 3:45 in the morning, and then like I get up for work at like 4:45, and so like this alarm wakes me up. I'm like, what the fuck is that? And I look at it, and it's like flash flood warning. May need to. I was like, I don't know what I'm gonna do if there's a flash flood in my house. Like if it floods, I gotta be working an hour or wake up in an hour, so I'm going back to sleep.
Nothing I can do about it.
If I float away.
What town in North Carolina are you in?
I'm in Hickory.
Hickory?
Yeah.
How far is Hickory from Virginia?
Probably 2 hours. If you go like straight north, yeah, probably 2 hours. I'm about 5 hours from Richmond. So yeah, like I'm between Charlotte and Asheville. So
you're about as far away from Richmond as Baltimore.
Is it really that? I guess it is kind of that quick. Yeah, because you don't have to go as far over. Yeah. Yeah, I went to Richmond I went to Virginia Beach.
Oh.
Jawbreaker. To see Jawbreaker. That's what it was.
How long ago was this?
Last year? In the spring, maybe?
Yeah.
That's one of the bands on the list. I'm glad you said something.
Yeah. And I've been to Richmond two other times. One time was just to hang out for like 2 days, and then the other time was just I went to one of those Page 99 Majority Rule reunion shows up there, which that was awesome.
I was working at Autobahn when they came through Baltimore. I never got into that shit. Like, that's just one genre. That's just I'm just like I hear it. Like I can see the I get it. That's not for me.
Right.
Like that, my throat hurt. But like the energy, the kids, oh my goodness, people lost their fucking minds. Like, you know, we know it's a good show when we can't control the crowd.
Yeah,
like there's too many people moving. It's like whatever happens in there is what's gonna happen. I hope nobody gets hurt. But yeah, they had a good run on their reunion tour.
Yeah, I guess they're just gonna do that for a while. I don't know, they've talked about new music, but it'd be cool if they did something, but if not, they could just keep touring on those records and
they can do great with what they got. You just can't obviously oversaturate anything. You don't want to do it too much.
Yeah. Yeah, because they do ask a little bit much for their tickets too, compared to other bands of their type.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's making up for all the money they never made.
Yeah.
When they were active originally, because you know they were playing to 5 people a night most nights.
I can't imagine. I've been lucky. Every band I've been in, I've never played a show where like nobody should. There's always been somebody.
Yeah.
I also didn't start playing in the band. I didn't start a band till I've been going to shows for like, well, I actually got asked to be in a band because there wasn't no starting a band. I didn't get asked to be in a band until I was like 25. After almost like 10 years of going to shows and hanging out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was wondering, did those bands ever record anything?
What?
Your other ones that you were in?
Yeah. Malicious Code. We were on, I think the band camp might still be up. It was on Spotify. The band was called Malicious Code. That band was sick. And then, obviously, Ended. I left Malicious Code to be in Ended. Because our drummer at the time in Malicious Code, I'm not even going to misquote, but he was drumming for a ton of bands as well. So I was like, well, shit, I want to be in another band. You ever be in a band that tells you as a vocalist there's certain things you can and cannot say? No. Right? Yeah, you see your face, you're like, the fuck's the point? Like, I was in a band with a dude, and like, he would passive aggressively ask me to keep the lyrics of a certain nature. And just because I wanted to be in a band, you know, I'd do it. Because I really just wanted to be in a band, but being an ended, I don't gotta do that shit. Whatever the fuck I say is what's going on. They don't care. You write the riffs, I write the lyrics.
Were they trying?
Like, it was called Malicious Code, and Malicious Code was sick, but, like, that's that.
Like, were they trying to keep it, like, within a stylistic, like, the lyrics need to be, like...
See, that's the thing. The music was so all over the place. I couldn't... Only thing I can say is, like, the dude wanted a more black metal, like, raspy vocal style, but, like, I went to school. I have, like... I was chorus and then adjudicated and whatnot, so I know how to hold a note. Like, I'm not going to blow my voice out doing that dumb black, and I don't even fucking like black metal. That wasn't written for me. I don't know nothing about Run Through the Woods. It's fucking cold, go in the house. But, like, he wanted more. It was more that style, but, like, he was trying to, what's that band? Midnight?
Okay.
People listen to Midnight?
I think I know what you're talking about.
He tried to, like, have a jaunt like it was Midnight. But he wanted it to be death metal, and I'm like, I can't do it. I'm a fucking punk.
I was gonna ask because, like, your style and Ended is like, it's kind of like an extension of your normal voice. It's just like amped up and like shouting. So it's like that's one of the best things about Ended, I think, is your voice. And so like, what? It's funny that he's like, no, do something completely different that you're not naturally wanting to do.
And how? Don't be yourself. Be someone else.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. that ending shit, I mean, I appreciate that. I never even thought about it like that, because I think I'm, like, blowing my top, and then I listen to it, I'm like, oh, that could have went hard. But, like, yeah, I can't, there's no other way. I'm dramatic, but I'm not, I'm more loud than I am effective. You know what I mean? I could do that boom and scream, but, like, that's not it. I mean, well, I don't really like bands where you can't understand what's being said, because I'm making some declarations when I speak. Like, I'm speaking. I'm not just yelling. So I want to be heard. So it needs to be clear. So there's no miscommunication going on. I'm fucking talking to you. Fuck you. That's what I'm talking about. I'm not enjoying my time here. When I wrote this song, I was really like, you know, I don't have to exist. That's a hell of a thought to have, like, all the time. Like, I really don't. And it'll be something as minute, like, I stubbed my toe. See, if I didn't fucking have thought, wouldn't felt my toe. You know. So, like, that goes all into the vocal style. Like, I'm not trying to hide in the fog. I want you to hear what I'm saying.
No, that's definitely important, and especially in hardcore. Like,
yeah,
there was that era.
That's the big thing. In hardcore, you can just get away with, like, I don't know. You can write the lyrics on the paper, and as long as they melodically match up to that, that's fine. But that may not be what I heard.
Yeah. Well, yeah. do you remember that, like, era of hardcore where, like, you couldn't understand what anybody was doing? Like, the 2000s? No. It's like, you're just all doing metal vocals and nobody knows what you're doing.
It's just a bunch of mess gym shorts and people getting escorted out of the show with injuries. I guess is what we're doing.
Yeah.
That was wild.
How has the reaction to One Way Track been? Because I tried to look online to see if there were any more copies of the cassette available, and it looked like they're all gone.
Actually, it's funny. I just got a text from the group chat that they sold out recently, so that's what's up. It's gotten a good reception. We're working on a video or something for it soon, but I've not heard bad things. People tell me Lifer is their favorite song on there.
Lifer? Which track is that?
That's the joint that started out with me making noises.
It's like
track number three.
Yeah, I was gonna say it's like the third track on there. Yeah, like I it's funny. I hadn't heard of End It until I heard about Up the Blunks, and we had the Hard Times dudes on our show last year, Bill and Matt, and so like I listened to their episode where you were on it, and I was like, This show sounds cool. So then I went and listened to the first episode of the Blunks. I was like, shit, this show's good. But I didn't know End It. Like, I came to you through a podcast, so.
Hell yeah. And I met Kevin through End It, so it's like full circle now.
How'd you wind up connected up with them? Is it because Kevin was writing for Hard Times?
So, what's today? September?
3rd?
It's the 3rd. So, 2 days from today, a year ago, I flew back in from Chicago. I went to Chicago for the second time in my life, came back here, and went directly to the Why Not Lot, which is this gathering space in Baltimore. And we had a show to play with Turnstile, DDM, which is a rapper from Baltimore, and Truth Cult.
Oh, yeah.
So it was Truth Cult, which was, we played one of their tracks on the podcast. DDM, who's a rapper from Baltimore, and Turnstile at the Why Not Lot, and us. So fucking Kevin was in Baltimore for a comedy festival, and in between the comedy festival, he happened to hear, because the show was free. It was to benefit healthcare for the homeless in Baltimore. It was a benefit show. And we played the show, and Kevin, I guess I said something goofy on stage, because, like, you never seen our live sets. Apparently people really like to watch End It, because I shouldn't have a microphone ever, especially not while I'm performing, because I get to be as rambunctious as I want. Like, it's, you know, I just get to toe that line, because, like, my whole punk rock, the punk rock I enjoy was that, like, tongue in cheek, I shouldn't do this, you know. And I guess that's immaturity to a degree, but that was my attraction to punk. Is like just real, like, yeah, I shouldn't. Just those offhanded things, those off color, those blue things. But fucking, so I'm on stage doing my thing, said something crazy, and Kevin, I said something about, I met God, that nigga smell like fish. And Kevin just was like, that is the craziest thing I've ever heard someone say into a microphone. And from then on, we got friends of friends. And he got in touch with me because during this whole, what was it, the whole George Floyd thing, you know, black men dying, getting killed in the street. I think the Hard Times was like, everybody was on the point like, we got to do something. You know what I mean? And yes, Kevin does write for the Hard Times. So they reached out to him and then he thought of me. And now we are 5 episodes in.
It's seriously one of my favorite shows to listen to. I love the two-parter you did with Chappelle. That was great.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. Shout out Chappelle. Good times.
Yeah. I love that y'all are, like, showcasing bands with black artists in it and black members in it. It's like, that's great. Anytime I hear a band, I'm like, all right, write that down. Go check out that record. See how it sounds.
Just because, obviously, you go to the show, there's only a couple black kids there. But, like, this younger generation, I'm not going to say they don't see race because race is it's a hot buzz topic for the next lifetime. However, a lot of these kids is getting to the point where, like, it's no longer a guilty pleasure to listen to alternative things. They grew up in a world where people escape. Skateboard culture, punk rock culture, all that alternative shit is in the forefront, you know? So, like, it's normal for a lot more black children to be like, yeah, I listen to anime, and I like this song and this band, and they don't really care. And now we got a lot of young kids doing their punk rock shit, and that's a wonderful thing. You know what I mean? Oh, should I not curse as much? Because that's sort of kind of how I talk. I hope it's not a
issue. That's not a problem.
Right on.
I'll just tell my mom not to listen to this one.
Nah, don't worry about this one, man. I mean, feel free. You play Scrabble? Nah, do your mother play Scrabble?
Do play Scrabble?
Does your mom like to play Scrabble?
Yeah. I guess. Maybe. Yeah. we had a Scrabble
not regularly.
Right? Yeah. That's like I've been playing Words with Friends like crazy with my wife. She beats me 90% of the time. Bro, but... stop
playing. She was an English major, right?
Yeah, that's why she yeah. So good at it.
That's a built-in cheat code.
It's funny, we have a 17-year-old brother who he started listening to the podcast and then he makes our mom listen to it. And I was like, stop. Don't we don't like swear like crazy or anything like that, but it's still just like, come on.
Come on. It's gonna happen from time to time. We're talking about punk records, like,
right,
you know, not to mention, like, we're talking about punk records, like, she's not getting anything out of
it. yeah she's like, well, I don't know what you're that's right, she told us like the first time she listened to it, she was like, I didn't know what y'all were talking about and I thought it was boring.
Thanks, man.
Yeah. Which, why would I'm not going to listen to like a podcast on just like something I have nothing to do with. So.
Yeah.
I put my wife to sleep in the car one time, just like explaining the history of emo, because she asked me a question about it. So you got to start at the beginning.
I'll say, did you take her back a little bit?
Yeah.
You're like, all right, so it's a band called Rites of Spring.
First of all, you need to understand that the Revolution Summer occurred in 1986, and that was a response, to, of course, to... you got to go even further back to explain that.
See, that's before my time. I just know I'm close. My proximity... Only reason I'm hip to, like, the origins of emo is literally my proximity to Washington, D.C.,
yeah, you're close enough.
Yeah, I read American Hardcore back in like 2004, so I was 14. Mm-hmm. And the only things that were close to Maryland was that emo shit. Excuse me, I shouldn't call you emo. And so, like that, like I said, hardcore, DC hardcore is the only, that was mostly it at that time. You know what I mean? In terms of emo, that's how I found that emo stuff. That's what that
was. Yeah. Yeah. Do you, you're in Baltimore. Do you know Adam Yo? He writes for No Echo.
Yeah, Adam. I communicate with Adam often. He's interviewed me for End It and fucking Up the Bronx.
We've had him on here a couple times now, and he's always a good time.
Adam in real life, but I can't recall meeting him in real life.
Right.
Right, obviously, yeah. I know the dude.
That's cool. Yeah, I think I saw the interview. Yeah. That you did on No Echo.
Shout out No Echo.
Yeah, that's a good site.
Yeah, great site.
Well, do you want to talk about 1995?
I'm having trouble trying to sleep. I'm counting shit but running out.
Give on the food, the roots, a radical. Give on the food, you know I'm a radical.
think she missed the train to Mars. She's out back counting stars. If you could save yourself, you could save us all. Go on living through us wrong.
Yeah. So how old are you dudes?
I'm 34, or turning 34 in October.
Okay.
And I'm 30.
You're 30? All right, cool. Yeah, we're the same age. Don't say it. In 1995, I was 5.
Yeah. Yeah.
My favorite punk songs were whatever Green Day songs were getting played on the radio.
Yep. I thought all punks were mostly white kids in denim with mohawks, and I would never associate with them because they looked nothing like me. This Chips Ahoy commercial has really turned me off from these punk rock. I'm going to be honest. They look rowdy.
Yeah. I love people who, anyone who remembers that commercial.
I distinctly remember.
I don't hang out with any mohawk punks either. That's a whole other like subset of punks.
I had one. And it wasn't spikes or nothing.
Yeah.
But I was always like, even I was doing my punk rock thing, you know, you got your jackets and all that shit. But I still like actively played sports in high school. And because I went to the high school I went there for vocal music. So like, I don't know, my parents break their foot off my ass. So, like, I had to go to school. But I was like, I'm still going outside of school. I'm doing whatever it is I'm doing. But on the forefront here, we have a facade to upkeep.
Yeah, 1995. It's kind of a it's kind of a big year. There's a lot of stuff that came out that year that would be important going forward. We've got Rancid and Out Come the Wolves. That's probably the most important record out of that style. And then you also got Green Day's Insomniac, which, what was the big song on that one? Does that one have Brains Too, or is that the other ones? It had like radio hits for sure.
I say, I can't say I ever went back on Green Day. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's got Brains Too.
Okay. I checked that one out from the other library. Singles. I don't know. Jaded, is that a song? I
feel Jaded like it probably would.
Yeah. But it's like, it's a, what, Dookie came out in 94, so this was like the follow-up, and then like all the majors were trying to sign up any punk band now, because like Green Day was a huge hit, so that's why Rancid got signed. Jawbreaker put out Dear You. Seaweed put out Spanaway, which is like on Hollywood Records.
Wait,
which is,
you said Jawbreaker put out Dare You?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's all I could think of. And then this Hum album, well, you prefer that. But I was like, I know that one.
Yeah.
A lot of Jawbreaker, because of course, emo.
Yeah, and I think what Record from the Crypt put out two records that year, and they're like, they were on Interscope.
Yeah.
I think that's what label they were. Yeah, they're on Interscope. So like, it was like punk was like trying to do this. Well, mainstream was trying to like co-op punk and like make it like what everybody, you know, everybody's going to listen to next. And most of those bands didn't really blow up other than Green Day. Rancid did well for the scene, but like not so much like mainstream attention.
They didn't have a crazy follow.
Yeah, they're not like regular rotation on the radio type band.
Yeah.
I noticed the other really big trend in punk and hardcore was there was a lot of heavy shit in 95.
Yeah.
So
when you say heavy, like what do you mean?
Like just like hardcore, metalcore. We've got Dead Guy, Integrity, Marauder. There's Earth Crisis, Destroy the Machines.
Yeah.
There's a lot of like kind of important records. Oh yeah, Quicksand put out Manic Compression. Like it's not really a hardcore record, but it's big and it's.
I was like, kids love fucking Quicksand.
Yeah. Did you ever get into them?
Not really. I would always see their t-shirts, and people have shown me their albums, but it never, like, stuck.
I feel the same way about them. I never got into them myself. They have some cool stuff on those records, but just, like, as a whole record, they don't really connect to me. And then, what else do we have? There's a little bit of emo that came out that year. Sunny Day Real Estate put out, LP2? And then, there's Kappa Jazz record with a long-ass name that I'm not going to say.
Did you guys like Integrity?
Yeah, I like Integrity. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've listened to it. I can't, because they got like a fandom. You know what I mean? Like worship. Like a following. I don't get it. And I've listened to it. It's been on multiple times. People always point it out. And like, even if I'm nodding my head, they're like, you know, this is Integrity. I'm like, well, that's cool. But I know Integrity really, when they, I know a lot of like older guys, and there'll be bands that for them are like top tier. But because I'm younger, if I wasn't there to catch some of it, it just didn't stick. So, you know, you talk to older guys like, man, that was the fucking gospel. And you can hear the excitement. And it's like, I was three when that album came out, so I can't connect. But that's how you get them to open up. Like, all right, so this one time at this one show, right, we were fucking so-and-so was on Dust, and they saw a cartwheel and a knife fell out. Like, oh, shit. To this band? Yeah, this band was like, they headlined. We chased them out of the back of the club because of such and such. Like, what the fuck? Okay. That's sick. Shout out to the 90s.
They're an interesting band. They've been around forever. They have like classic records. Then they had like a revival, and then they're just still going. Like it's basically the lead singer and like whoever he gets to play in the band. It's not so much like a solid set of the same people over and over again. But even still, he manages to keep that name going and does well by it. So.
I personally know a couple dudes who play for and in Integrity. The guitarist that ended, actually, he almost played for them.
Is it the guitarist that does all the cool like lead type stuff on the record?
Yeah.
He would fit in. He would fit real well for that sound too.
He's a metal guy. That is, we go through it all the time, especially in the band. Like, you know, I want to listen to some soul or a podcast or a comedy album, and these dudes are more than content just consuming. Like metal. They'll just listen to metal for hours. I'm like, we don't have to do this to ourselves. There's so many other things we can listen to. I'm looking on this list, fucking 108 Songs of Separation came out in 95. Yeah.
That's a big one.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
There's a Shelter record too.
Wait, what was it, Mantra?
Yeah.
Fuck. Mantra. I don't know what it is about Shelter, dog, because in all honesty, the lifestyle I lead does not line up with the ideals of Shelter or Gorilla Biscuits or Civ or any of that shit. I absolutely love that shit. I eat that up. I don't know why. Like, I sang In Praise, the first time I heard In Praise of Others by Shelter, I listened to that song at least a cool 50 times, like in a row, just playing Madden in the basement of this house I was living in. Just like having a good old time. Just, I don't know. As much as I like to create and I like negatively influenced hardcore, you know what I mean? Like the violent knucklehead shit. It's just something about a band that's a bunch of dudes who've gotten together and decide to talk about the exact opposite. It shows the versatility of this very aggressive thing. Because the music is still, you can march hard as shit to Shelter in the middle of a blackout. It's not that hard. And the people standing around, you're having a horrible time. Because they listen to Shelter. They like, they sort of lean that way. Nah, Shelter's fire. What else?
Yeah, it's funny. That kind of, it comes out of the youth crew scene, right? That was mostly straight edge stuff. And then, and then it shifted into the Christiancore thing. So it's an interesting, like, positivity mixed with a religion that's, nobody else really is anymore.
Like, I don't know any Hare Krishna.
Right.
Just like extremely pacifist. Yeah.
I don't know any Hare Krishna person.
I knew a guy who was like flirting with it, I guess. Like he was like learning about it, was maybe going to convert to it. But other than that, I've been in Tucson actually, downtown, and passed by a group of Krishnas who were just walking around the city chanting, doing their thing.
That's pretty cool.
Which was like, oh, hey.
But that would bleed into hardcore and punk. It doesn't happen anywhere else. You know any like Krishna metal bands, so to speak? Well, yeah.
Probably. They probably came from
I got a wonderful setup. The closest I could come is the 1995 release known as Next Step Up, Fall From Grace. I just happened to see that on this list. You guys familiar?
No, that's one I'm not familiar with.
Yo, you not hip to Next Step Up?
Uh-uh.
Are you more like a metal guy?
Not really. Yeah. I used to be. I used to mainly be in the metal, like metalcore type stuff, but...
And then you did the listen to nothing but metal.
Yeah.
Constantly. And
yeah. Ruined it.
Yeah, it burns you out.
Next Step Up, right, is from Baltimore. Dying Fetus covers the Next Step Up song. And, yeah, Next Step Up is the gospel. Like, in terms of this Baltimore hardcore thing, because, you know, you got your punk, and then you got hardcore. So when you think, y'all familiar with Stout?
I know the name. I don't think I've heard of it.
Stout is another, like, metal beatdown band from Baltimore. When you think in terms of Baltimore hardcore, at least what me and my friends represent, the history begins with CCS/NGMF, which was Skinhead Crews in Baltimore. And out of these crews, you got a Stout and a Next Step Up, right? Those are all the older guys who've been around. They saw everything, you know what I mean? And then out of that, you get whatever other bands come out of Baltimore. But like Next Step Up and Stout are the gospel. Next Step Up, Stout, Gut Instinct?
Yeah, Gut Instinct? I know Gut Instinct is.
So that's the holy trinity of Baltimore hardcore. Next Step Up, Stout, and Gut Instinct. And fucking Next Step Up were like a Krishnacore metalcore band. But also Skinhead, like Rolling Heavy. You'll find shit like that in Baltimore. Like, you'll find a dude who's a Hare Krishna, but he just got done serving 4 years. And like what the fuck? Like, hey, he a Hare Krishna. That's what he is.
Did he pick it up later, or was he someone who was Hare Krishna and then just like let it slip just long enough to get in trouble?
You guess as good as mine. But yeah. Next Step Up, great band. And that came out in 95 too. I was surprised. Fall From Grace is...
Yeah, it's funny. I could go forever on 95. There's so much good stuff on here.
Yeah.
But we assigned you 95, so let's talk about the EP you picked. So... you pick District 9's School of Hard Knocks.
You give, so what you gonna do with my 9XX punch right down on you? Cause I don't give a fuck and I don't wanna hear shit. It's been weeks, motherfucker, you've been looking for it. Your time is coming, I won't leave until I'm done. And I'll make sure, son, you catch a bad one. So cut your neck, cause I'm about to get wrecked. This goes to you for not giving me my respect.
Payback!
Time is now!
I'm going to throw some basics out there. It was released on Striving for Togetherness Records. The personnel on the record is Puerto Rican Mike Rivera on vocals, Cesar Ramirez and Todd Hamilton on guitars, guy credited as Loki on bass, and Raymond Green on drums.
Yeah.
So the first thing I always ask our guests whenever they pick a record is, why'd you pick this one specifically?
Because, in all honesty, District 9 doesn't really get spoken about as much as they should. That's one of those bands, you know, and especially in being brown, everybody in that band is brown, and they're from the Bronx. No, the Bronx has but a certain reputation, and out of all these New York hardcore bands, it's interesting to see, like, one of the ones that have endured is this band of Puerto Ricans from the Bronx. Like, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I didn't really know much about them. I think I knew the name, but I had never listened to them myself. And so when you picked me,
was the you ever see the New York hardcore documentary?
I watched chunks of it today. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So I believe the whole thing is on YouTube, but like that documentary is really what put me deep to a lot of these bands. And District 9 was one of the bands on that DVD, well, documentary.
Yeah, they get interviewed a lot in the documentary, and it's funny because it's like at the time, they had this EP, and then, like, they didn't do anything else for a real long time. They had, like, an earlier demo, like a 91 demo, and maybe a demo before that, too, but that wasn't online that I could find. They kind of collected everything together for School of Hard Knocks Revisited.
Yeah.
So, like, that's how I listened to these songs, because those were on Spotify. And there's another song on there that's from...
My bad for interrupting. You didn't get to listen to the actual School of Hard Knocks EP?
I listened to... So it's got those songs on the compilation. It has the EP as the part of the compilation.
Okay.
So it's like the first five tracks, I think.
Yeah. I was like, because the compilation tracks, they sound different.
Okay.
You know, obviously they remastered and whatnot. I'm like, oh, you gotta get the raw experience.
Yeah, I pulled up the... there was like a 12-minute video on YouTube of the whole thing. I sampled a little bit there to make sure they matched up similarly, so they were pretty even quality there.
Enjoy it?
Yeah. Like, I'm glad you recommended this, because this thing is fucking awesome.
We've talked about some New York hardcore on the show in the past, and it's we have regularly said, pretty much every time it's come up, that it's not really our sound as far as hardcore goes. This has some of the hallmarks of that sound, but there are some differences that I think are really notable that make it stand out a lot. I really wish that I knew more about them prior to this.
It's just... like I said, it's all from the New York Hardcore documentary, and it goes, you know, it talks about Crown of Thorns and 25 to Life. Because the biggest thing, I guess a grail for being from Baltimore is obviously I'm a punk at heart, but I got into this tough guy hardcore thing. It's just sort of what was around, you know, beat down and being from Baltimore, whatever. And then you just work your way up 95, and then you get to New York, and it's like, oh, well, that... You get a District 9, but from before District 9, you had a Cro-Mag and a Gnostic Front and all that. And then you find out how these bands all interconnect. So it was like, oh, this got hardcore roots. This got punk rock New York roots. It's just a whole different take on it.
And I really like their take, because, like, I'm not the biggest fan. Like, we've done an Gnostic Front record. We did a Slapshot record.
Yeah.
We did a Madball record. And, like, I just want, like, the Mad Ball record is probably the best out of those three that we did. And we didn't pick, like, the best material from those artists either.
Yeah.
Like, we picked some, like, late 80s Agnostic Front record with, like, the lineup was, like, they only did two records together.
Yeah. But one of the real thrashy ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we did, like, a Slapshot record that was, like, not beloved. Like, the 90s ones are the ones people liked, and we did an 80s one. Yeah. But, So, like, anytime I've ever encountered New York hardcore, I'm always like, I don't think it's my thing. Like, I'm the only New York hardcore I really like is maybe like Indecision, like or like even Snapcase, but they're like, you know, Buffalo, so that's a different thing. Yeah,
entirely different.
But I listened to this and I was like, shit, this is good. I got to reevaluate everything I thought about New York hardcore.
Right. But it'll be between District 9 and Maximum Penalty. Those are two bands, like, you listen to them and you're just amazed that, like, I don't know how more people aren't jocking this. You know what I mean? Because they do the jazz thing real well. And it, I don't know, you just gotta... I love this shit.
To it, and I was like, I was most impressed with Mike on vocals and Caesar on guitars. Like, yeah. His guitars are fucking crazy. Like, he does, like, a solo in the middle of one of these songs, and it's just like, this is great. What, you know, what else has this dude done? And I couldn't really find much else that he had done. Mike had done a bunch of other stuff, but Caesar, yeah. Like, this is pretty much it.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
We'll just leave your mark. Like, you guys ever... I don't know, that's, like, one of the coolest things about this punk rock thing, this hardcore thing. You can put out some real excellent music, but you didn't do it. If fame and fortune came from it, that's cool, because who don't like money and being on the road and, like, playing shows and shit? However, you can still make music that was true to you, and it's out there. You did it. And you might have just did it and then went and worked in a fucking warehouse for the next 30 years, but, like, this one time... I did fucking something. I contributed something.
Well, you're describing us. Like, we had a hardcore band, and we have one cassette. That's all we did. Yep. And now I'm working in a warehouse.
But you did it.
Yeah. I'm glad we did it. Even if I don't have the itch to, like, be in another hardcore band right now. But, you know, who knows? I could be like, let's reunite. We'll play This Is Hardcore 2030. And...
This damn corona messed up everything.
Did it mess up any plans for End It?
Yeah, we had a show. Shit, we were going to play a show. We were going to play United Blood. That was going to be sick. Who else were we going to play with? Damn. I should have my ass one. 1 second. That's so upsetting. Because these damn shows got canceled, and then, you know, you just stop paying attention or caring.
Yeah.
That's what it was. We had a show with The Fight and Dead Heat. Up in at Cousin Danny's. That was going to be cool, up in Philadelphia. We were going to play United Blood in Richmond. Oh, and we were going to play with the FUs. That's the one I was thinking of.
Oh, yeah.
We were going to play with Shark Attack and the FUs in Virginia. And Corona came and shut all that shit down. We had like 3 pretty decent shows lined up. We were very excited, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And who knows when that's coming back. I mean, it's... We'll see.
Even a half? I don't know.
Yeah. And I know shows are going to be like the last thing that gets to come back, too.
Well, yeah. I mean, there's going to definitely be the very underground, like, you know, keep your phone in your pocket. Everybody has a mask on. Don't tell anybody. That's going to happen. That's already happening.
Yeah.
It's already happening.
Yeah. But I don't know if I'm going to make it to those.
I book out here. Me and my homies were called the Don'ts. You got your Hoosker Do's, your Hoosker Don'ts. We're fucking Hoosker Don'ts. Could easily get a show together, but like you said, we got to figure out how to keep it off the internet, real word of mouth. And then you also, in all honesty, you got people, I'm not going to call them snitches, because their heart's in the right place on this. This isn't like I'm harboring illegals. This is like a show would not be the smartest thing to do. So right. I would understand why you would tell. However, you should. Just don't go. It's one of those things. Just don't go.
Yeah, I'm not going, but I'm not going to call anybody out for it. I'm just not going to hang.
Go and leave it at that.
I work in a restaurant. I have enough people breathing in my face. Like, it's, you know.
What's that like? Are they sitting indoors in Arizona?
Yes, they are.
Like, at full capacity?
No. I mean, some places are, because, I mean... Who's going to do anything about it? I mean, like, it's, they're not going to shut them down. Like, the place I work, we've got, you know, pretty limited capacity. So we don't have a ton of people. And it's not like a very big place to begin with. So it's just like, you're out in the lobby and I'm in the kitchen and we interact for like a minute and that's it. And I'm done. So I can live with it.
Yeah, it's not too bad.
How's Baltimore handling it? Is it pretty, like, everything's still mostly shut down or... They're back to sitting in restaurants.
So tomorrow they're supposed to open venues and movie theaters.
Ooh.
The state of Maryland.
Yeah, I saw that.
Now, the thing about Baltimore, Baltimore is an independent city state. So whatever the state of Maryland says doesn't necessarily dictate what Baltimore does. Baltimore has been keeping things closed. You got outdoor seating and maybe 25% inside. I really haven't been keeping up. I drive a Lyft and I'm just not going. It's not the smartest thing to go to a restaurant. I got a 3-year-old, and in being a Lyft driver, I interact with more than enough people. So, right. You know.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure. Maryland's supposed to open tomorrow, so we'll see.
I mean, yeah. It's a crazy thing. We're going to see what happens, I guess.
Maybe everything will just be digital.
Yeah.
YouTube video of like the EP, and it was credited to the bass player Loki from this record, and he says the child on the cover was Efren Camacho. He showed an affinity for the music, so we wanted to put him on the album. I came up with the band name from my old school district in Bronx because I would hear it a lot during school assembly day. The olive branch was added as a symbol of peace. And that was the end of the comment. I don't know how accurate this is, if this is, or if that's really what the dude said, but like, that's interesting.
I can see that. Yeah, that's pretty tight.
Because that dude is not in the reunion, I don't think. I think they got a new guy playing with them for bass. So like, because they did a bunch, they reunited in like the late 2000s, and then they just keep playing off and on. I watched a really cool Hate Six set from This Is Hardcore 2018 that they did. They sound amazing still. Like, Mike's voice still sounds just like that. Caesar's guitar is amazing. Like, I was super impressed that they were still as good as they were. They're all old dudes now. Like, they're, you know, like the old guys in the hardcore bands who don't move around that much anymore. But the the crowd was moving.
bad knees. Yeah. Not jumping around.
Every time I get done playing, I'm like, I shouldn't have done that. I'm too old for this shit. Hobbling around the next day or two. But fucking District 9, last time I saw District 9, we were touring with this band called Hangman. Hangman's on Flat Spot Records, same as a shout out Hangman, Long Island Hardcore. And they opened for District 9. I want to say it was Madball, District 9, Stout, and Hangman. So like, we got off the road, we got off tour, home for like a day or two, and then went straight up to New York and saw that show. And that was fucking insane. Seeing them in Brooklyn, because, you know, like you said, they older guys. So when they play, you better get your tickets, because who knows? You know, life happens. You can't just be doing this shit forever. It was a great show.
They were so tight. Like, just that video from 2018. When he plays that solo in, what is that? Is it Think About It?
Think About It, yeah.
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 I was like, shit, this sounds like it's on the record. Like, you didn't do it. You didn't have to change anything.
You've played it the same every day ever since.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Killed it. But yeah, I don't know. They give me a lot of, whenever I think of District 9, I think of, like, baggy clothing.
Yeah.
I think of, like, that only, obviously, I was alive in the 90s, but you only thing I could think is, like, how they dressed in Kids, you know what I mean? Like, baggy jean shorts, some fucking Timberland boots and a white t-shirt. Like, kids just going off, cartwheeling, fucking. I love to see madness. They're great. They're like great, seriously.
I watched that, the clips in New York Hardcore where, like, they interviewed the guys in the band and, like, they showed some of their live footage, and Mike had his backpack on the entire time he was singing. I was like, is this where the, like, that backpack hardcore started? Was that like the 90s New York scene?
Right. You know what I heard from some asshole? He may be lying, he may not. People used to put bricks and shit in their backpacks and wield them. The shit, yo, sometimes I look back and think about some of the shows I've been at, and it wasn't always a thing, but it doesn't happen nearly as much as it used to happen. The amount of weapons that were present in shows. And I got into hardcore like 2004, 2005. So it was like the tail end of that shit.
Yeah.
But even in my short tenure, it's like, that is a gun. It's a fucking gun. He is cartwheeling with a gun. Wow. Okay. Well, that's where we at.
I don't think I've seen any guns at shows. I have heard about one big show in Greensboro where there were a bunch of fights and someone went and got their gun out of their car and came in with it. That show got shut down.
Well, what's his name from Young and in the Way?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah.
Pulled his gun like on a security guard and was like,
"Oh,
he was dressed like." And he dresses like a cowboy or something stupid, and it's like this like long like pistol, like Western pistol. Oh, he's got like pointed the security guard because the guard was like holding somebody else or something. Like, it's weird. That band's weird.
I've definitely seen, you know, knives and brass knuckles, and
that's a thing I'm glad for a lot of stuff.
The brass knuckle imagery was really heavy for around the time that I got into hardcore, around the same time as you. That faded out. Which,
thank goodness. So many behind the thigh, mid thigh, over top of the knee, brass knuckle tattoos in the early 2000s. So many brass knuckle on top of the hand, on the neck, on the fucking head tattoos. Everyone's brass knuckle. I got a mug. Let me show you something real quick. One second. Fucking. Talk about some early 2000s shit. Talk shit, get hit. I don't know why I still have that. I think it's just to do this. It has to be.
Did you get it at like Hot Topic or?
My ex-girlfriend had a friend of hers give it to her. And she's like, I don't like her anymore. You can take it. And I was like, thank you. So this is a spite gift. And you can keep a spite gift because your ex is a cunt. But she wasn't a cunt to you. She was a cunt to someone else.
Free you know what I think ruined the brass knuckles is probably Five Finger Death Punch. That was like was their logo.
Oh right.
And they got big right around the time that like it kind of fell out. So that makes that's probably it. Exactly.
They made it mainstream, and it wasn't cool anymore. That's what happened.
But I'm just glad I don't... Seeing people get hit with brass knuckles, it's nasty. It's, it's just like, I don't... I know why they... We're not having trench warfare right now. We don't need that.
Right now.
Right now. Four more years of the Donald.
I'm scared it's going to happen. I'm scared it's going to happen.
No, he's definitely going to... It's the way I look at it, is a dude with a job. All these dudes had the job before I came here. My life hasn't changed one bit. I cause more problems for myself than anyone else can. But that's just my experience. That's not everyone else's experience.
Right. Yeah.
But we're gonna have four more years of this dude.
Well, if you just like drive around where I live, it's only Trump signs, so
yeah.
He's winning North Carolina for sure.
I'm happy for him. I don't know. That's one of those things where...
It brings him joy.
I can't... What I actually feel don't matter at all, so I don't give it real feelings.
Right.
Like, it's the president. That's his name.
Yeah.
Anyway, I have to pay my rent now, so let me go figure that out. I don't turn over a dollar being just talking shit on the internet yet, so I gotta go to work. One of these. But anything else?
I think we kind of covered everything. I thought about doing like track by track, but I don't know. I think we kind of hit all the big stuff on the songs. You mentioned the jazz bits, and
I will say the fucking breakdown on Behind Red Tape. Now we can finish up because that's actually the reason I picked this. If I can be quite honest, the breakdown, especially due to the climate of society right now. You know what I mean? It ain't just necessarily police violence. It's gun violence, but you do hear his sentiment about the police in the song.
Yeah.
It's like, that breakdown, that rest in peace breakdown, because I've had, and this ain't a flex or nothing cool, because like where I was raised in Baltimore is not where the shit like that goes down, you know what I mean? My parents moved us away from that, but I'm still up here. So I remember coming home, the hearing stories like, oh, so-and-so got shot, or like, so-and-so. I remember two of my brother's buddies got murdered execution style. Like, they said it on the news. They were placed on their knees and shot in the back of their fucking heads. We still don't know why. You know what I mean? And, like, to hear that song, to be about this punk rock shit as much as I have, and then you find this band full of Puerto Ricans, and then only they could write this song, because if you ain't lived through the experience of your homeboy getting killed, you can't relate. And, like, the way he opens that song, he says, the police say it was drug-related. All in all, that's what they believe. So, like, at that point in the Bronx, when someone got killed, the police would show up, and the police would do what the police do, which is absolutely nothing. Did the police stop the young man from getting shot? No. The police came after the crime was commissioned and then took a report. And within that report, they were condescending, because instead of being able to sit in their fucking cop car, they had to get out to check on some young Puerto Rican kid who got shot in the back. Because they're human like anybody else. They shouldn't have the fucking job. But you don't hear that represented in punk rock or hardcore at all. And then you find this band and they write about that shit. Like knowing, not like for real, like, it's such a heavy song. And we would just have to listen to it. Because if you really listen to it and think about it, and then think about it. Well, I mean, like, because you have kids. If you're growing up in dire straits like that, you're growing up in poverty. You start to, after a while, think depression hit them more so, if not as much as everybody else. So you get kids who, like, fuck it. They feel like a burden because their mom's struggling, or they get rejected or something. They fucking kill themselves. And now your friend's dead over what was actually minutia in the long run. So, you know, it just really is one of the rawest things. Because, you know, most punk rock shit is fuck my mom and dad, I hate my life, blah, blah, blah. Real suburban shit. We all love it. But these dudes are like, I can't even say fuck my mom and dad because I don't even know my dad. I love my mama. fuck. It's fuck the system. And not like from the editorial college exam standpoint. It's like, no. Officer so-and-so, Sergeant Stroyer of Baltimore City Corrections can suck my dick. Like, I can name him because he's a person I've interacted with. Fuck that dude. You know what I mean? And you can't really get that unless you've lived some type of experience similar to mine, unfortunately. Like, I don't know if you listened to episode one. I had a fucking gun. We may have discussed it. I had a gun put to the back of my head by undercover police at 5 years old in 1995. Christmas Eve, 1995. So, like, to listen to this man and this whole punk rock thing of fuck the police, that probably definitely was a charge behind it, behind why I got into this stuff. Because, like, fuck the police. Like, fuck them. They serve a purpose, but not in the way that they perceive. Why? Did you see in Washington, like, the police showed up with riot gear? So, like, if your town doesn't annually have riots, right? Why do you have enough shields and batons and vests to outfit a smooth 200, 300 dudes? That's preparedness. Yeah. What are you preparing to defend against? The people you're supposed to protect? And all I did was go to high school. I just have a high school diploma and don't shut the fuck up. So if I can see it, I can't be the only one. Fuck the police. Listen to District 9.
You know, it's funny. I really hope that hardcore gets back to that fuck the police mentality. You know, because, like, it was baked in early on. Like, especially in the LA hardcore scene, like, they had problems with the cops all the time. So, like, it's weird that it got away from it, and, like, it never stayed a running subject matter. Yeah. And then you get, like, some bands like, what, Anti-Flag maybe would do some songs here and there, but, you know, they're pop punk, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think so much of punk got, like you said, suburban, and when they would write about police brutality or, you know, whatever it might be, anything of a political or social nature, so often it's removed by that, not having that experience, that lived experience, and just kind of seeing it on the news. And, you know, plenty of punks were smart enough to know, like, how to question the narratives of the media about those topics, and but then it's just this, like, clinical, like,
examination,
philosophical, like, yeah, examination of, like, it's like,
moving pieces on this chessboard, you're just a bystander. You're spectating. So if you're spectating, you get to speculate. And it's just your speculations from the remove of your home. And it's like, you don't respect it enough to believe that there are other complexities and variables involved that you can't possibly be made privy to because you're not there. So then we get these long drawn out think pieces and dissertations from your home. And that's not fair. That might maybe more often not just let that be written later by someone who got the oration. You know, everyone wanting that rapid response, and they need to know what happened. And let me give you my feelings. Also layer that with validation and wanting to be accepted. The people who actually were there get spoken over top of, and that's crazy because that they were right there. Imagine wanting to do someone else's job for them, because I fucking hate going to work. That's what people should do. Let other people do their jobs. I've never once rung myself up at a Dairy Queen. You know why? I don't fucking work there. I got a skedaddle.
Yeah.
We'll let you go do your job.
Yeah, we'll we want before you go, we started this on the one we've recorded last week, and we haven't posted it yet, so that's going to go up next week. But we're going to start asking our guests, like, do you have like a specific charity or something, or like a bail fund or something that you personally like to donate to that you think people should send some money that way?
Let me see. I can give you two perfect ones.
And we'll make sure to put them in the notes.
I'll say my band, we had two shirts printed up, and we donated those funds to two different nonprofits. I can tell you. The first one is Border Angels. Their Instagram is Border Angels Official, and they provide humanitarian aid along the U.S.-Mexican border. They got bail bond programs. They help people get their green cards and get out of ICE custody. So that's the first one. And then the second one is for Baltimore Youth Arts. They also have a bail fund, and they do summer programs for kids in Baltimore City. You know, so go hit them up, see what they're about.
Yeah, and those links will be in the notes on this where you download this episode from. So tell people where they can get some End It stuff. Records, you don't have any records right now to get, I guess. But digitally, you can still get that stuff.
Let's see, what we got for the End It, for them goddamn End It's. We got our Big Cartel, which is enditbchc.bigcartel.com. And then, of course, go support Flat Spot Records. Buy a comp. We got cassettes for sale over there. I think the cassette may be on Flat Spot.
I checked it today, and it said it was sold out, so I don't know if it's sold out.
Well, damn.
Yeah.
Let me see what I can do. Maybe I'll fucking just ship you one. But yeah, we got merch up. Of course, on the Big Cartel, you can get at us at End It Baltimore. And, of course, you can listen to me chat some more at Up the Blunks on Spotify. Shout out Hard Times. That's Up the Blunks. What a wonderful name. Because me and Kevin is black, and we like the BB. And you can find me at Akil Godc, AKILGODC, on Instagram.
Awesome.
Don't follow my Twitter, because that's my live journal.
We'll and we'll have links to all that stuff there too. So thanks a lot, man. This is awesome.
Yeah, this was sick. Maybe next time I'll plan some more and we can pick another year.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks a lot.
Of course, take it easy.
Have a good one. Stay safe.